Well, good morning, everyone. It's exciting to be here. I think the last time we were here was about 3 years ago. We usually make our terms that way, three-year periods. As missionaries, we always think long-term. You know, some of us, we think the next week or so, we're thinking 3 years down the road, 6 years down the road. That's just missionary life. But it's good to be here with you again. We're thankful for your partnership with us in the gospel. I want to start with a passage from Hebrews. Okay, so this will be a little mix. I don't know what you're used to with a normal missionary presentation, but this will be a mix of preaching and a presentation and a report of our work in New Guinea. And I want to start with God's Word in Hebrews chapter 9. And some of you may ask, you know, how did you get to New Guinea? That's usually a question you ask missionaries. How did you get to the mission field? Why New Guinea? Why the specific country where you are? And it all started back in the 50s and 60s with my grandparents. They were the first ones to go to New Guinea. My mom grew up in New Guinea on the mission field. My parents are missionaries still in Papua New Guinea. And by God's providence and calling in our lives, he called my wife and I, Melissa, to Papua New Guinea. Back in 2013 was our initial trip. And one of the things that I'll never forget my grandfather saying, this is my mom's father, he said regarding missionary work, is a missionary is someone who brings a message. Okay, now there's many things we could say about missions, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. But one of the key elements of missionary work, what is a missionary? A missionary is someone who brings a message. And that's really what Christianity is all about, isn't it? Christianity is about a message about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to share one verse about that. Okay, again, there's many things we could say, but this is the verse I'm going to share this morning. What is that message? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Okay, it's talking about Christ, and it said, he has appeared at the end of the ages. Okay, that was 2,000 years ago, but he's appeared at the end of the ages to do what? To put away sin. How did he do that? Well, it says here in the text, by the sacrifice of himself. Again, there's many things we could say about the message of Christianity. What is the message of the gospel? But this certainly is one of the great verses to go to. What is the message of the gospel? What is the message that missionaries are supposed to bring? Okay, not all of them bring it, but what's the message that missionaries are supposed to bring? What's the message missionaries are supposed to proclaim to the nations? Is that Jesus Christ has appeared at the end of the ages to put away sin. And he's done that, how? By the sacrifice of himself. That's the message we bring to the nations. That's the message that's come to us here in New Jersey, right? For those of us who are believers in the gospel, for those of us who are Christians, we are those who have believed in the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. That he has put away sin. He's canceled the debt, as it says in the New Testament. He's cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He's took them away as far as the east is from the west. Okay, these are some of the things that the scriptures say about the work of Christ on our behalf. Those of us who have been dead in our sins, and he has taken away our sin. Okay, the gospel isn't a message of possibility. The gospel is a message of what Christ has actually accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection. Okay, and that's the hope that we have, right? It's not, well, you know, Jesus sort of did some of the things, but you have to do the rest and save yourself. That's what all the cults say. The true gospel of Christianity, the gospel that we read of in Scripture, is that Christ has fully accomplished salvation. And for those of us in this room that believe that we're saved, and that's the message that we bring to Papua New Guinea. So I want you to always remember, what's the work of a missionary? And I'm going to talk a lot about missions this morning, but one of the key elements is a missionary is someone who brings this message. And if we don't have a message to bring, okay, when you go do evangelism in your workplace with your family, when you preach the gospel here in church, if we don't have a message, Christianity is empty. There's no such thing as Christianity without the message of Christ. I wanted to start there this morning with you. I'm going to put my Bible down there. Okay, so another question to ask when it comes to missions work. What is a missionary? Okay, I talked about the message, but these are the two verses that we can consider this morning about what is a missionary. What's the work of a missionary? Okay, if the Apostle Paul came in this room, and we'd probably all agree that he's the well-known missionary of the New Testament, if he comes in this room and stands and we ask him a question, Paul, what's your main work? What are you all about? Probably, I'm willing to bet that he would say one of these verses here. What do I do? It's I bring the gospel to areas where the gospel hasn't gone. Notice what he says here in Romans chapter 15, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament about missions. His goal, his ambition, his purpose, okay, we could translate that in different ways, is to do what? To preach the gospel, not where Christ has been named. If you say, Paul, are you going to plant a church in Jerusalem? You're like, no. Peter's done that. The apostles have done that. I'm going to go to a new area. I want to go to an area where there are no Christians. That's one of the key elements of missions work as well, to bring the gospel to all the areas of this world so that the entire globe can be evangelized. That's what the Great Commission is all about, right? When Christ, before he ascended, in Matthew chapter 28, the well-known passage there, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What an amazing statement, right? That's in the context of missions. I have all authority, not the president. I have all authority, not the military. I have all authority, not the nations. Jesus Christ said, I have all authority, so go and do the work of the Great Commission. Make disciples, as you said this morning. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey and to observe and to follow everything I've commanded you. Not just in Jerusalem, not just in Judea, not just in Samaria, not just in New Jersey, not just in America, but to all the places and the peoples and the languages of this world. That's the emphasis when it comes to missions in the New Testament. And that's what Paul's saying here in Romans chapter 15 and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We were the first to come to you with the gospel of Christ. Isn't that an amazing statement as well? Paul saying to the Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians, we were the first to come to you. He also says this as well, that he was the father to them in the sense that he was the first to bring the gospel to them. No one else has been your father, Paul says to the Corinthians, but I have, because I was the one to bring you the message of the gospel, the message of Christianity, the message of hope, that sinners have a way to be saved. And isn't that the great news of the gospel? That's the hope that we have in this world. We live in a cursed world. We live in a ruined world in the past 2 years when we're all thinking about COVID. All these problems that we have, there's hope in Jesus Christ, because he has come to give salvation. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I was the first one to bring you this message. And we can say the same thing for our family in Moka. That's the village where we live in Papua New Guinea. And I've said to them, and I say to churches as well, we have been the first to bring you the gospel. So here's a map of our work in Papua New Guinea. You can see the two locations I highlighted. The one at the top is called Ukurumpa, and that's the name of the village where a large Wycliffe mission bases. Okay, we spend time there to get our mail, to do all of our internet work, to get food, supplies, medical things. We can rent a car there and then drive to another city. So that's sort of our base as well. And then we fly from there to our village Moka. Okay, and that's where the other one I highlighted on the map. You can hop to the next slide. So here's a zoomed up picture of the village of Moka. We live on a river. You'll see some other pictures as well. The long strip there to the right is a river. Okay, it's called the Tuarama River. It's in the Gulf province of Papua New Guinea. So if you saw the map earlier, you saw the Gulf of Papua, and then there's a river that comes off of that, and that's this river, the River Tuarama. And this is what a typical village looks like. It's obviously a satellite picture, and you can see all the houses scattered up and down on the river. There are about 50 houses or so, and the population's about 200 or so, including the kids. And then you could see our house there. That was actually our old village house. Since then, we've built a more permanent structure. You'll see some pictures of that, too. And if you're really interested, you could check out the coordinates there. All right, next, please. And you could go to Google Earth and zoom right in on our village. Next slide, please. All right, so let me talk about village life. You know, a lot of people have questions about not just our ministry, but also how we live, and specifically, how do the people live in Papua New Guinea? So there, the picture to the left is Melissa chopping up what is called in English the sago palm. In the national language, it's called sok sok. And in their local language, it's called dom. So, you know, in New Guinea, there's no English that we work with in the village, but there's the national language, and then there's also their local specific language. As you mentioned earlier, how many languages in New Guinea? We are in one of those groups out of all of the 800-900 that are in the country. And so the Lord brought us to this one people group. I'm working on learning their language as well. But until I'm fluent, I'll be using the national language. So that's their main staple food. The picture to the right is a canoe. Typically, they build canoes like this, a dugout canoe. Some of them will buy what we call a dinghy. You'll see a picture of that. We bought one of those to travel up and down the river. Next, please. You could click again. This is a video. There's some kids playing rugby. This is their main sport. And they don't have a normal field like we would here in New Jersey. They're playing in pretty much a mud pit. But that's all they got. It rains a lot there, so the ground gets ruined very quickly. And then here's a picture from our front porch. I like the contrast there with the sun and the clouds. All right, next, please. All right, here's a typical village house, what it looks like. Some of the houses have metal roofing. Our house has metal roofing as well to collect the rainwater. But this is a house here you can see that has the leaves of that sago palm. So they'll use the sago palm for a whole number of reasons. For the food, obviously, but also they use the what they call the bone of the leaf for the sides of their house, and then they use the actual leaf to put on the roof of their house to keep the rain from getting in. So this is what a typical house looks like in the village. Next. And here to the left, the picture of a pig head. They went hunting. And then to the right, the group that was playing rugby. Next. At lunch, feel free to ask questions. I think there'll be time for that. Okay, so I've broken up this presentation into a number of different ways and focuses on our ministry. And for those of you who were here maybe 3 years ago, we were going into our area, making more of an initial trip. Now that we've been there for the past few years, we've been able to make a lot of progress and have different ministries that we've been able to implement. And this is one of them, home evangelism. Okay, this is one of the families we went to. We've pretty much been to every house in the village, those 50 houses or so. Not everyone, but a lot of them, and got to know the people in their homes. This is one of the best ways to evangelize. We see it in the New Testament, don't we? Jesus did it. The apostles did it as well. You know, we read in the book of Acts, they went house to house. And we should do it as well. Not just in New Guinea, but I want to encourage you as a church to do this. Invite people into your homes. Go to people's homes. This is one of the best ways to evangelize. Non-confrontational, just over a meal, and then afterwards you open up the scriptures and you share from God's word different things about the gospel, maybe about your life or about the church. So I want to encourage you as well, as individuals here, as families here, to implement this way of evangelizing. Not all of us will go to New Guinea. You know, very few of us do that. Not all of us will go to the streets and preach, though some do that. But one of the ways that we all should evangelize is certainly in our homes. All right, next. I have some other pictures here of the home ministry. Here the text from Acts chapter 5, from house to house, they didn't cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, so they went publicly, but they also went house to house. And that's one of the ways that we evangelize in the village of Mocha as well. And here's another family. This is Sibona and Melissa, same name as my wife. This is their family. Next, please. So you can see what the houses sort of look like. This is inside the house. Again, I mentioned the sago palm earlier. The back of these, their walls of the houses are made of the sago palm. You know, they call it the bone, the middle part of the leaf. It's a giant leaf. You know, we think of a leaf, you know, maple leaf. It's just the little stem in the middle. The leaf is huge. It's like 10 feet long. So there's these big pieces of what are sort of sticks, and then they line them up to make the walls of their house. So here's two other families, Calvin and Sandra, and then Silas and Helen. And again, we go to their homes, usually on Wednesday nights, and we'll bring some food. They'll prepare some food as well. We'll all sit down together in the house, talk. It's a good opportunity for language learning. And then when we're all done, I'll say, let's open up God's word, and I'll preach God's word to them. So it's a great opportunity for them to hear. Not everyone comes to the meetings, right? Just like here in this church, not the entire town of Flanders is coming to the church. So there's ways that we have to think of to get to the people. For you here in Flanders and New Jersey, for us in New Guinea, not everybody comes to the meeting, so we're going to go to their house. And again, Jesus did this, and the disciples did in the book of Acts. All right, next. So another part of our ministry is not just home to home, but also itinerant gospel preaching. And again, we see this in the New Testament. One of the things I always emphasize when it comes to missions, I believe I said this last time a few years ago when we were here, is that missions is about preaching the gospel. Right? That's one of the key elements of missions work. Jesus said, go and proclaim the gospel to the nations. Okay, there's many things that we could do, but Jesus made it very clear and very specific. And so we go from village to village preaching the gospel publicly. Okay, now we go house to house, but we also do this publicly as well. And we see this in the ministry of John the Baptist, in the ministry of Jesus, in the ministry of all the disciples. Right? They went from village to village, town to town, city to city, and they proclaimed the message of the gospel. Isn't that what a message is meant to? That's what we're supposed to do to a message, right? You proclaim it. When you turn on the news, you want to hear something told to you, right? That's what news is. It's a message that's told to us. And that's what we do with the gospel as well. It's a message that we tell to our neighbors. It's a message we tell to our coworkers. It's a message that we tell to the people in the village of Mocha and up and down the river. And here's this passage from Romans 15 as well. You know, Paul said from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, that's present-day Turkey, that whole area. Okay, some translations say that he fulfilled his ministry or he preached the gospel. Okay, that's what he was about. Now you might think, well, Paul, you didn't reach everybody. You didn't plant churches in every village. But that's not the work of a missionary. The work of a missionary is to make the initial push, to introduce the gospel to these areas and for churches to be started. And then the Christians that come after, the workers that come after, will help establish and help maintain those churches. But Paul's work as a pioneer missionary, and that's what we're doing in Mocha, is to make that initial push, to bring the gospel to these people. And that's what we're doing. All right, next. Here's another satellite picture of the area. Three villages, okay, Saragi, Sorobo, Kamayo. Those are three villages that we travel to down the river from us, south of the village of Mocha. You can see on the map, going north on a river is Tomoka, and then going north in a different direction is the village of Faya. Okay, and that village is where we land with a little airplane, and then we travel on the river to our village of Mocha. But this picture is to show you the three other villages we go to. We have a ministry in about six villages or so, to go to them, to preach, to evangelize, with the goal to see churches started. And then this passage from Matthew chapter 9, Jesus went through all the villages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we see in the New Testament, right? In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus going out village to village. He didn't even have a house. He was homeless pretty much. But he went from place to place proclaiming the gospel. And that's what we're doing in this area as well. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. You know, I tell people that a lot. Our job isn't to reinvent the wheel and to do missions the way we want. We're supposed to do missions the way Jesus has told us to in Scripture. And in our day and age, the term missions and missionary is used in many different ways. Okay, but we want to be faithful to what Scripture says about what missions is all about. Next, please. So here's an evangelism trip down the river. This is our dinghy, it's a 23-foot boat. And that was one of our projects. I'll talk about that later. We were able to buy that to be able to travel. Prior to that, we used other people's boats and canoes, and it was very difficult, but we were able to get this boat. And we'll get a group of people from our village, and then we'll travel down the river to those three villages that you just saw. It takes about an hour on the river with a 40-horsepower motor. I click it again, please, and there's a little video here. So that's what the river looks like, and that's what a typical trip looks like for us going down to those three villages. We go about once a month when we're there, and we have meetings with the people. Next, please. Okay, so one of Melissa's areas of ministry is helping the people, the mothers, with their newborn babies, and I'm sure some of you have heard of this. If you followed us on our website or Facebook, you've seen pictures of this. Melissa helps newborn babies, and this is one of the babies that she just delivered this year. And maybe, you know, once a month there's a birth in our village. Melissa's helped a number of moms with complications, with problems. She also provides clothes for them. So some of these pictures that you're going to see, they have little hats and blankets. This is one of the ways that Melissa can help the newborn babies with the mothers. There's no clinic there. There's no hospital there or anything. You know, Melissa's the nurse. All of the medical problems, all of the baby births and things like that, Melissa is able to help with. And it's a great blessing to the people. You know, one of the main causes of death for the women there is in childbirth. And when we initially got there back in 2018, when we settled there in the village of Mocha, within a month or so, a woman was pregnant, she gave birth, and she died. And that's not uncommon. That happens all across the country. You know, we take for granted a lot of times just being able to drive 5 minutes down the road to a hospital. If they want to go to the nearest hospital, and they don't have a motor. They'll get in one of their canoes and they'll paddle a week to get to the hospital. Now, if they have a motor and they have some fuel, it could take about a day. But that just gets you an idea of, you know, the situation that we're involved in and how these people live. So this is one of the ways Melissa can help with the moms. Next, please. Okay, and so the picture there to the left is a woman who got bit by a snake. Okay, this is very common as well. We live in an area of New Guinea. You know, most of New Guinea is not like this. We find it very interesting. But this one part of New Guinea, where we are, of course, has lots of poisonous snakes all over the place. You can't really go into the jungle or the bush, as we call it, and not have some encounter with a poisonous snake. They're all over the place. And so it's very common for the people to be bit by poisonous snakes, and many of them have died. And if it's a kid, we've heard of this many times, we've experienced it, the kids will die very quickly. Obviously, they have smaller bodies. So this woman here, she's been bit twice on the hand, because she was picking up some stuff on the ground, some food or whatever it was, and she's been bitten now twice in the past 2 years. And Melissa's been able to help her both times. She has been not receptive to the gospel. They're friends of ours, her and her husband. They're good friends of ours. They help us with a lot of things. We help them. But they have not been receptive to the gospel. And through this, Melissa's been able to talk to her more, but she remains hardened to the gospel and to Christianity. So you could pray for her. Her name is Elsie. Her husband's name is Seymour. And again, they're friends of ours. But she's been bit twice now and almost died. Thankfully, the Lord spared her life. Other people have been bit. Some have died, and some haven't. Next, please. So the medical work, again, is one of the ways that Melissa can help the people in doing our ministry there and doing our work. Cuts, infections, the mothers that I mentioned, the snake bites, many different things. Any problems that we would have that, you know, we could go to our bathroom and get a Band-Aid or get Tylenol, whatever it is, or go to the clinic or go to the hospital, they don't have any of that. So Melissa's able to help them. And some of you may have helped with sending medical supplies, bandages. We use a million bandages all the time. You know, people come up with sores and cuts all the time. So we use Band-Aids and bandages like water. So here's some other pictures of Melissa doing some work. The top right picture there is a fish hook stuck in a kid's toe, his large toe. And the entire end of the hook was all the way in. And so you couldn't back it out or pull it out that way, so we had to cut with a razor, you know, an inch into his toe. And, you know, he did pretty well. They're used to pain. They're used to problems like this, so the kid did actually pretty well. You know, if it was one of us, we'd be shaking. They'd have to put us out. And so I cut it, and then I grabbed the pliers and was able to pull it out. So these are some of the things that we deal with. Next, please. All right, travel. So, you know, if you ask Paul in the New Testament, Paul, how do you travel? You know, thankfully, in history, and it's providential, he lived during a time of when the Romans built amazing roads. Some of those roads are still here today. You know, the roads we have, you know, there's potholes in them after a few years. The Romans built amazing roads. And Paul was able to take advantage of that to travel, and that's one of the main ways he traveled, with boat as well. But these are the three main ways that we travel. Hey, air, land, and I wanted to put sea in there. That would have sounded pretty cool, but it's, you know, just water. Air, land, and water. And go to the next slide, you'll see the airstrip that we land at. So one of the first pictures you saw was the location of the mission center and then the location of our village. We're working on building an airstrip in the village of Moka. That's been a long process. Currently, we're landing at this airstrip. Okay, this is up the river about 2 hours. So we'll land here, and then you can see that squiggly white line. That's actually a road that a lumber company has built. The lumber company has been in the area for a few decades and made all roads throughout the country like this that some of the trucks can travel on. So we'll land at the airstrip, take a vehicle down to the river, which is this bottom left part that you can see. That's the river. That's about a mile away. So we'll load all of our cargo into the truck, bring it down to the river, load all of it into the boat. You could go to the next slide there. And then travel down to our village of Moka. That's about a two-hour travel on the river. And people at that village are able to help us. This man that you see, some of the guys in the back, that's their boat with their motor. So we'll bring in fuel, and then I'll pay them to use their boat like a taxi. And so we'll bring in all the stuff down to our village of Moka. That's the only way to get into the village. Sometimes we're able to use a helicopter. That's this next slide. And I click it one more time. There's a load of video here. Sometimes, or actually just once, we're able to use this helicopter. But all of the other travel is with the plane. So the helicopter was in the area, and they were able to come pick us up once to go get more supplies. So that was pretty cool when a helicopter came to pick us up. We'll travel in and out of the village about 3 times a year. So, you know, think of it like a long camping trip. We'll get all of our food, all of our medical supplies. We homeschool our kids, all their school books and things. We'll go into the village, and it's usually on a plane. You saw the airstrip. And we'll stay for a few months and then go back to the mission base or to town to get more supplies. We do that 3-4 times a year. And usually it's the plane. Thankfully, this one time, the helicopter was right over the... in another area close to us. They were on the way back to the mission base, and they came into our area, so they said, we'll pick you up. So that was pretty cool. Next. And then sometimes we'll rent a vehicle at the mission center and drive 5 hours to the second largest city in the country. It's called Leh, and we'll go and buy supplies there. The mission center doesn't always have all of the supplies we need, all the medical supplies and things, so at times we'll go down to the city and get supplies. So that's renting this vehicle. You could click it again. I'll show a video. This is traveling on the river. So this is sort of what the travel looks like on the river. This was a little river going to a larger one. But this is, you know, we'll get in the dinghy, and we'll go to either the airstrip or the other villages to do evangelism. That's what it looks like on the river. When it rains, you get soaked. When the sun's out, you get baked. So, you know, you just can't escape the elements. Next, please. All right, so another part of our ministry is obviously language. Again, I mentioned earlier, we don't use English there. None of the people really know English. Some of them know a few phrases, but all of the work is done in the national language, and I'm working on learning their local language as well. This is a video. You could click it. You'll hear me reading a passage. All right, so you got to hear me reading a passage here from John chapter 1. I'll read it to you here in a second. In their language, okay, this is the first time that they've had any of their language written down, the Bible put into their language, preached. They've never had that before. You know, so keep in mind, I want you to keep in mind the context that we're ministering in. These are people that are 99% illiterate, pretty much. Their language is not written. They've never been evangelized. There's no evangelical churches there. There's no believers there. There possibly is one. I'll talk about him in a few minutes. So this is the context. I want to read to you the passage I just read there. What I'll do is I will work throughout the week with language helpers, learning the language, getting notes to preach on, Bible passages to translate and then preach from. And this is the passage. John 1, verse 11. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. He's talking about the Jews, right? Jesus came to the Jews. What did they do? They rejected him. They didn't receive him. And I told the people in Mocha where we are, I said, don't be like the Jews, right? Don't be like those who have rejected the Messiah. Okay, it's not just the Jews. I mean, America's full of them too, right? New Jersey's full of people like that. Mocha's full of people like that who have rejected Christ. And there's only one end for people like that. And it's an eternal hell. You know, one of the things that motivates missions is the reality of hell. And these people, for generations, hundreds of years, thousands of years, have died and gone to hell. Countless people. I mean, just think of it. That should motivate us to do missions, right? Jesus came to his own. They didn't receive him. Verse 12. But to all who did receive him. Okay, there are some who receive him. Jesus said, there's a large road that goes to destruction. There's a small road that leads to life. Few find it. But Jesus is in the business of saving sinners, right? He will save his people from their sin. That's in the context of Christmas. Those who did receive him, who believed in his name, what did he do for them? The people who receive Christ, the people who believe in his name, what does Christ do for them? What does our text say here in verse 12? He gave them the right. He gave them the privilege. He gave them the status to become the very children of God. Isn't that amazing? That we as sinners can be adopted into the very family of God. You know, Jesus is the Son of God, but we can become sons of God, daughters of God with him, right? He's our big brother. We can be brought into his very family. The scripture speaks of heirs with Christ, the inheritance that awaits us because we belong to Jesus Christ, because the Father has brought us into his family through the work of the Son. That's an amazing passage. That's what I preach from. And then verse 13, it says, who were born, and I focused a lot on this in my preaching, who were born, they weren't born of blood, physically. They weren't born of the will of man. In other words, our own thinking, our own purpose, our own desire didn't produce us that way, but born of God. God has made us born again. I preach John chapter 3 often, the work of the Holy Spirit to make us born again, to regenerate our hard, stony hearts that are dead in sin. What does the Holy Spirit do? He regenerates. He gives life. He makes us new. And I preach that to these people all the time. You need to be made new. That's the message we need to hear in New Jersey as well, right? We're dead sinners. We need life. And there's only life through the death of Christ. That's the only way a human can have true life. And so this is one passage. And the passage there to the left is the first passage I translated from the Old Testament. And it's on the passage there in Ezekiel, hard, stony hearts. He removes them and gives us a heart of flesh. And so I thought that was pretty neat. That was my first passage from the Old Testament. Next, please. Here's my dictionary. I'm working on this. I took a picture when I got to 2,000 words. That took me maybe 2 years or so, 3 years. It took a while to get to the first 1,000, and it took a while to get to 2,000. It's probably going to take the longest to get to 3,000. That'll probably take quite a while to get all those words. But as I translate, as I preach, as I learn new phrases, I'll hear new words and things, and I'll add them to the dictionary. That helps. And then this passage from Acts, I thought of this. Remember the day of Pentecost? I just read this with my kids for their homeschooling. Acts chapter 2, 50 days after the death and resurrection of Christ, he promises the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. Peter stands up. He preaches, and everyone hears the gospel, the preaching of Peter, in their own language. Right? And it made me think of this. We're going to these people of Mocha, and they're hearing the good news in their own language. And that's pretty amazing. Next, please. Okay, this is another area of our ministry. We have workers' meetings, and the workers come 3 days a week. They'll help Melissa with washing clothes. They help with tending to our property, cutting grass, and also the workers that I have with the language. I mentioned having language work throughout the week. And so we'll have people come, and they all want to take turns doing it, so we, you know, sort of rotate throughout the village. And it's an opportunity to work, but also to have a meeting in the morning before we have our work. And so I'll preach for, you know, not long, 10, 15 minutes, and it's just another opportunity to evangelize and open up God's word to the village. This next one's a video. You could click it and then just skip it just for the sake of time. Okay, family life. I'll talk about this for a few minutes here. On Saturdays, we have a board game with our family. The kids love to do that. Here on the right is a picture of homeschooling. And the unique part is they get to homeschool with the chicken. Okay, we got a chicken there. His name was Siragi. And you might not be able to see it too well, but Belle is holding the chicken there in her lap. So, you know, homeschooling does have its benefits in different ways. Next, please. Here's a picture of our dog, Jersey. We mentioned that to Eric Seal earlier. And obviously, you know why we named her that. And then there to the right is Elijah playing chess with my dad. Okay, so I mentioned earlier my parents are missionaries in New Guinea. We're able to talk to them on the radio. And it's great because it's free. We could talk on the radio pretty much every day. And one of the things the kids love to do is play chess with my dad. And Elijah beat him. So we had to take a picture of that game and make sure we don't forget. Next, please. All right, preaching on the Lord's Day. This is obviously what we're doing today, right? We gather on the Lord's Day. That's what believers do. Ever since the resurrection of Christ, Christians have gathered together on the Lord's Day. The difference is there's no Christians there. Okay, we're the Christians, but we have evangelistic meetings on Sundays, obviously. That's the day to preach. We also do it on Thursday mornings, too, but this would be the main day. You could click it. There's a video here of me preaching. So we went to another village to have a meeting. So I'm preaching in the language and the national language, sort of a mix of both. And there you go. You got to get the kid yawning, you know. Whether you're in New Guinea, whether you're in New Jersey, you know, the kid's got to yawn. So, you know, some people are paying attention, probably most of them, some of them are paying attention, but that's life, right? And again, keep in mind, these people aren't Christians. They've heard things about Christianity probably over the years, different things, some good, some bad. But this is the first time that someone like us has come to them, preached to them, evangelized. I told them, I remember this very day that I was preaching. And I said to them in the village, it's not Mocha, it's the one right down the river from us, it's called Dufa. And I told them, I said, I know your names. You know, there's maybe 10 or 20 of them there. I said, I know every one of your names. I said, there's no other foreigner in the world who knows your names. There's other workers there. I mentioned the lumber company before. There's businessmen. There's politicians. And, you know, there's some other foreigners that come through the country and through the area times. They go to town. But I'm the only one who knows their names. And I said, that should have a great impact on you. I told him this. I'm here coming from a long way away. We're not coming from Australia. Australia's pretty close. New Zealand's pretty close. Malaysia's pretty close. Said, we're coming from America. That's far away. That's pretty much around the world. Said, we're coming a long way. And I say, I know your names. And so you don't know their names. I'm going to mention some of them here. You might remember some, you might not. But pray for these people and pray that the Lord would save them. Next, please. I want to talk about this guy here on the right. His name is Kobe. He's our landlord. Okay, so the land we built our house on, he's the owner of that land. And he's probably been the most faithful to come to the meetings, to hear God's word. And if I asked him point blank, I said, Kobe, are you a Christian? Are you going to heaven? He'd probably say yes. And I'm not 100% sure. You know, in an ultimate sense, you know, you don't know who's really born again or not, who's really saved, especially in a context like this. But it seems like the Lord has worked in him, and we are certainly hopeful and desirous that he's born again and a true believer of Christ. And one of the things he said right before we left, it was about a week or two before we left, and this was, you know, a month or two back. He said, I've heard you preach, and at times he'll say different things to the people in the village of what I've preached, which I think is a good sign. You know, it shows that he's interested. And he said, I've never said this before, but I'm saying it today. He said, I've heard you preach, I've heard all these things, and now I'm speaking it out to the people. And, I mean, that's exactly what a Christian does, right? We've heard the message, we believe it, and we speak it, we proclaim it. And I obviously hope that the Lord has saved him and that the Holy Spirit's working in him, especially in our absence. You know, the word of God is not bound. Remember what Paul wrote? He said, when he was in jail, chained up, he said, the word of God is not bound. Right? We could be chained, we can be in prison, we could be back here in America, we can die, but the word of God is not bound. The word of God will continue to advance. And so that's one of the things we're praying for while we're back here in America, absent from them, is that the Spirit of God would continue to work and press upon their minds what they've already heard. The gospel that I've preached, that they wouldn't forget, that they would remember, that they would think, that they would repent of their sins, that they would believe the gospel. And Kobe is one of these men who we believe the Lord is working in. Next, please. All right, you could skip this one, too. This is a video. We have more videos online, you know, pictures, if you want to check them out. There's a prayer card back there. You could check out our website. You know, this is a well-known verse and something that I think about often. Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Right? He says in Romans chapter 1, I'm a debtor. Why? He had the medicine, and he had to give it, right? But, you know, think if someone has some terrible disease, cancer, whatever it is, and you're the only one in the world who has the medicine for them to get better. And you hit it. That's what some people do with the gospel. And all around us, day after day, people are dying and perishing without the gospel. You know, COVID's irrelevant. People are dying and going to hell. That's significant. And we have the remedy, right? Everything else in the world pales in comparison to what sin can do to people. And we have the remedy. We have the medicine. And that's why Paul says here, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, right? How could we not? Whether it's to your children, whether it's to your spouse, your coworkers, your family, your friends, church members, we should be speaking the gospel. And as I'm giving a report this morning about our work thousands of miles away in a little remote village of Mocha, I want to also challenge you as a church here to be doing the same kind of work here in this town, here in this state, where you live, with your family, with your neighbors. You know, we all have neighbors, and most of them are probably not believers. That's just, you know, on average, most people aren't Christians. Speak the gospel to them. And remember this one passage here. Here's a family that comes to the meetings as well. You could go to the next one, please. Okay, here's another picture. This is a video. You could skip it just for the sake of time as well. Okay, and let me finish up here. So another area is our Sunday evangelism coffee night. You know, the bad thing about this is we don't make the best coffee. Okay, so we can get good coffee in New Guinea. Melissa and I will make our own coffee here, but the people don't like normal coffee like that, you know, where you grind it up and you make a nice cup of coffee. They don't like that. They like those little packets that have the instant coffee in it with some sugar and some milk powder. That's what they like. Okay, so we'll go to town. I mentioned earlier our travel back and forth from town, and we'll buy like 100 of these packets. And then we'll dump, you know, 10 or so pretty much every Sunday. We'll dump 10 of them into this big pot and then scoop out to all their cups. That's what they like. So I remember giving them sometimes just a straight cup of coffee, black, and they hated it. They won't go anywhere near that. So you could show the video here. This is what we do on Sunday nights as another way to evangelize. So again, not everybody comes to the normal meetings, but this is a way to, you know, invite the community and say, if you want a cup of coffee, and then I'll preach as well. They all know that I do that. But it's more informal. You know, some people like that. You know, they want something informal, not more formal. And so it's another way to evangelize. Next, please. Some specific people, and this is now towards the end of the presentation. The man right there in the middle, his name is Media. I mentioned Kobe. He's the guy there to the right. And then the guy to the left, his name is David with his family. But the guy in the middle, he's come to a lot of the meetings as well. He's very smart. He's remembered almost everything I've preached. You know, so at times, like at coffee night, for example, we'll be sitting there drinking our coffee, and then he'll sort of re-preach something that I've preached. And he understands it very well. He's not a believer, and he knows he's not a believer. And I've challenged him so many times. I said, you're not embracing the gospel. You need to repent of your sins. Turn away from all of the wrong thinking that you have, the wrong behavior that you have, and follow Christ. He knows he hasn't done it. And for someone who's not a Christian, that's good, that they understand that they haven't, right? I mean, one of the worst problems in this world is people think they're born again, think they're Christians, think they're going to heaven, and they're not. You know, so I've tried to make the gospel extremely clear, and I think he understands that. So pray for Media. That's his name, the guy there in the middle. He helps us with our boat. That's just another example of an individual. And you think of Jesus' ministry, right? The woman at the well, Nicodemus, the rich young ruler. You know, there's many examples of specific individuals that Jesus talked to and brought the gospel to. And we do the same thing, right? And so this is just one example. Next. And partnership. Okay, I want to thank you as a church publicly for your partnership with us. You've been partnering with us, praying for this work, supporting us financially, giving correspondence. It's been a great help. It's been a great blessing and encouragement to us when we're in New Guinea. You know, one of the biggest things that we face, hardships that we face in Moka, Melissa and I will talk about this a lot, is just being homesick and being lonely. You know, we're the only ones there doing the work. We're the only Americans there. So, you know, put yourself in the context of the only Americans, right? And it's difficult. And they're speaking a different language. And we're friends with pretty much all of them. But it's just a different context. And many times it's difficult just because of being lonely. And we get an email from one of you or a text. Know you're praying for us, supporting us, and partnering. It's a great encouragement. So we want to publicly thank you as a church. And there's this passage from 3 John. You could look it up later. It's in that context of people being sent out and those who come along with them and beside them to help support the work. Next. So some of the projects we've completed that your partnership has helped with, specific giving, the house. That was the main project we had. We got the house built. We were living in pretty much a little stick house, but through a lot of hard work, getting supplies in the capital, getting them shipped up the river, we were able to build this house. It's on stilts. You saw from the video of the helicopter, we went underneath it, and we were able to get this built. It's a great help to us in our ministry. The next shows some pictures of inside, our bedrooms, the kitchen there. This was a great blessing to us. Next. Our boat and our motor, this was completed as well. That was a big project, so now we can travel up and down the river to do our work and our evangelism. We don't have to rely on someone else's boat, someone else's motor, and that was a great blessing to us. You could skip this video as well. Again, these are online if you want to check them out. Ongoing projects, if you want to contribute to a specific project, these are two of the main ones. There's other ones as well you could check out on the website. But the flights back and forth we mentioned, and also the fuel for evangelism. We pay $15 a gallon for fuel. You know, so I know things were a lot better a few years ago when the gas was lower. We heard about it. We come back, and of course it's high. I think a while back it was high too. We come back, it's still high. But we're paying $15 a gallon for fuel. That's to buy it and then to get it to our village. So, you know, when you're filling up gas, you're like, oh, that's right, the Jabelas pay $15 a gallon. And when you run out of fuel, it's a problem. There's Melissa having to paddle. So those are two projects if you want to be part of. Next. There's a famous quote from William Carey, right? The father of modern missions. Now, he says, listen, I'll go to India, I'll do this work, and I want to do this work, but you need to hold the ropes. Okay, he's talking to his people back in England. I need help. I need support. And that's one of the things you're doing. You know, you're this guy here holding the rope as we're going down into the well. That was the illustration that William Carey gave. And we can't do the work if someone's not holding the ropes back here. And no one's going to go if you're just holding a rope with no one at the other end. So together, that's why Paul uses often the term partnership, because that's exactly what it is. It's a partnership. And again, we want to thank you. Next, here's some prayer points focusing on the ministry itself. There's other prayer points on the website. You could check that out for more personal things, family things. But I did this on purpose. And I want you to, when you pray for us, when you think about us, when you look at our prayer card, when you're praying as a church for us, pray these five main things. Because really, the work of the gospel is the main part, right? That Christ's kingdom would advance, that the gospel would go forth, that Christ would build his church, that people would be born again, that the Father would be glorified. At the end of the day, that's what matters, right? And so you could pray about other things, you know, safety and homeschooling and those things. You could check out the website again. But I want to covet your prayers specifically for these. Next. People send mail packages to us, supply packages with medical supplies and other things. That's another thing you could check out if you're interested. Next. And one of the things we're praying for is for another couple to join us. I mentioned a few times this morning the difficulty when it's just us, right? It's just Melissa and I. And people say, you know, who's doing the work there while you're here? Nobody. Nobody. Right now, nobody's preaching the gospel there. And keep in mind, too, there's many places around the world that are still like that. There's many places this very Lord's Day, and there's no preaching going on. There's no churches. There are no Christians. And that's how I started this presentation. You can hop to the last slide here. That's our website. I started the presentation this morning with, you know, what is missions? It's about bringing the message. It's about going to the unevangelized, where the gospel has never been. And so I want to end the presentation, again, focusing on that. When you go home today, when you think about missions for the rest of this year and next year, when people ask, you know, what kind of missionaries do you know and support and things like that, be aware and remember, it's those who bring a message where the gospel has never been brought before. And so we praise God for you, we thank God for you, and we're looking forward to having lunch with you after.